Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while. Call 1-800-FURNACE. Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family. Jalan, 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 jalan.
It is my mate Bot Toaster. My name is Tom Price. Hello, welcome along. Joining me this week, I am so pleased to welcome the brilliant Joel Domet. Very much back into my life, Joel, because I've not seen you for years.
For a long, long time.
It's been a while.
It's honestly such a pleasure to see your head.
When did I last see your head? It's probably...
I'm going to say like...
Go on, chuck a number.
I'm going to say... I'm going to chuck out the big old 5 years. I'm going to say 5 years.
I'm going to
say
serious? 5 years.
Yeah, what would you say?
I'd say even more than that. Because I feel like I had kids like 7 years ago now, and I feel like I haven't really seen anyone for 7 years. So it's just 7+ years, basically. Anyway, we've taken 7 years out. It's great to see you again. You look very well, although you do look like you injured yourself just now with a headphone.
I just tried to put headphones on, and they've slipped out of my hand, and because of hair wax on my hands, I'm going to blame the hair wax.
Yeah, okay.
Slipped, and it's hit me in my nose.
Can I tell people the context of what you were saying as it happened?
Yes, go for it.
You were saying that you like the people who you work with professionally, i.e. your agents, your management,
yes.
You like them to tell you how wonderful you are all the time.
Yeah,
a reasonable thing.
That's their job, is because I'm riddled with insecurity. And their job is to be like, mate, you're the best.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, really? And then they'd slightly believe it.
And as you were saying that, you smack yourself in the face.
And hit myself in the face with a microphone.
It's wonderful. It was wonderful.
Basically, I'm hugely incompetent.
All right, so you are here. Your Amazon account has been opened, wide open by me. I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at 2006. That's when you started.
Oh,
which is quite late, I've got to say. We've had people who go back to like 2000, 2001.
Really? When did Amazon start?
Late 90s.
Really?
Gets asked every single time.
Every time. So we can cut that out.
Yeah. Sort of late, maybe mid 90s. Anyway, people really get going on Amazon in the sort of second decade of not in the noughties, but in the teenies. What are we going to call that? What's the plan?
The teeny tinies,
it's a bit weird, isn't it?
It's interesting because I started stand-up comedy in 2006 to 2007. So essentially my Amazon career follows and tracks my comedy career.
So as you begin stand-up, but you were ludicrously young, weren't you, when you started stand-up? How old were you?
Not really. I was 21, I think.
That's quite young, and that's quite hard as well. And obviously, when you're doing student gigs or whatever, when you're 21, it's okay. But if you're a 21-year-old doing something like the Comedy Store to a bunch of people who are normal age...
Absolutely hate you.
You can see
the disdain in their eyes. They're like, what the hell have you got to tell me, boy?
That's true, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I remember when I grew a beard, everything changed for me. Because suddenly people listened. Because they were like, well, if he can grow facial hair, then he's got something to say.
He's got face pubes. He's worth listening to.
Oh, but I'll listen to him tell an observation about where the bathroom light switch should be.
It's a great observation. Hotel rooms, very tricky.
Sometimes it's on the inside of the bathroom, sometimes it's on the outside. Is it a cord? Is it not, Tom?
This is gold. Are you riffing live on my podcast?
I am riffing. The other day I went to someone's house, Tom. True story.
Go on.
He had a cord, right?
Yeah.
On the outside of the bathroom.
Why? Why?
That is exactly what I said. I came out of the bathroom. I didn't even go to the bathroom. I stood in his hallway. I shat my pants and I said, why have you got a cord?
Wherever I see the cord, that's where I shit. Wherever I see the cord, that's where I lay a cable.
That is the room. That is the room that I will do it. It dictates.
But also, if you're going to do that, anyone's going to be using that toilet with some absolute Archbishop of Canterbury outside, switching the lights off while they're in there.
Obviously. But then that's like, why are bathroom light switches in the hallway? Mm. Like, what is... Put the light switch in the room that they're intended.
We've got a timer on the our understairs toilet.
Oh, nice.
So if you sit quietly, for whatever reason, for more than about... I think the timer's on just under 2 minutes, the lights go off. So sometimes if you're having a particularly... you know,
yeah.
if there's a movement's taking a while.
And you just want some time away from the kids.
It's a soundproof room. There's just a small plank of wood I bite into and scream sometimes. If you're having a particularly long movement, the lights will go off and it's pitch black. So you find yourself sitting there and then having to wave your arms.
Do you have to wave your arms around? Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's always a funny one.
It's a weird look. Anyway, we've been distracted. We haven't even said a single item yet. Let's head to 2006. Joel
Donner
is beginning stand-up comedy. And absolutely, you've smashed this. You bought Snow Patrol's Eyes Open there on July 2006. You're obviously a dangerous stand-up. You're going to be telling some truths. You've got Snow Patrol piped into your ears.
I'd like to think I'm very much the Snow Patrol of stand-up.
Massively successful in that case.
Successful and then slowly petered out.
So, a lovely album there, Eyes Open. A huge album as well.
It was great. It was like the Chasing Cars album.
Yeah, that's the one. Wasn't that announced the other day as the biggest played song since 2000?
Really?
I think so.
And that
was
probably like Wet.
Oh God! Before then,
I loved that album. So it says a lot about me that my first Amazon purchase was music and not a book.
Oh, there's so much music, and this is true. We get loads of people at this stage. Amazon is all about the books, and I've never seen so many musical purchases.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Billy Talent. Who's Billy Talent?
Billy Talent. So Billy Talent is actually, so I remember 2006, I was going to a music festival. It was Reading. I think I was going to Reading Music Festival.
Right.
And there would be more books on there if it was the Reading Festival. But it was the Reading Festival, so I bought music. And so the lineup I was really excited about, but there were some people that I didn't necessarily know. So I went through and I bought the albums of the bands I didn't know. Billy Talent was on them. Probably one of the next ones coming up is Bullet for My Valentine. Is that on there?
Yes, The Poison.
Yep. So they were on that lineup. And I remember I went to Reading Festival it was that thing where we bought tickets for me and my girlfriend, and then I broke up with my girlfriend. And then I took her anyway.
Ugh.
And so I went to this festival with my ex-girlfriend.
Did you get back together at the festival?
I think we did. I mean, there's nothing dignified about sex in a tent. There's nothing dignified, especially when it's with your ex-girlfriend. I remember having sex in a tent whilst people were in the tent next door. And it's just a horrible thing when you're like essentially just a piece of material away from other people. You might as well be just in the same room.
Yeah.
And we, whilst listening to the Kaiser Chiefs on the main stage.
Right.
Because we decided to sack off the Kaiser Chiefs and have sex. I did a television show with Ricky from the Kaiser Chiefs, and I told him that.
You told him that.
I'm really sorry that I chose sex over you.
What did he say? That's absolutely fine.
He was like, it's absolutely fine.
That's reasonable. The Kaiser Chiefs, very catchy songs. So if you can hear those while you're doing the sex.
And it's perfect. Unfortunately, her name was not Ruby.
Okay.
I sort of timed it perfectly when it's like, goes, oh!
I predicted it. Oh, God. Oh, no. I'm so sorry. So, Joel Dommett, you're in a tent at the Reading Festival in 2006, and you're just in a field with lots of other people copulating, and it's a magical time. It's a wonderful time. As we head towards December 2006, a bit of Tenacious D, the wonderful Tenacious D.
Oh, my God. That was not their first album. I believe that's probably their second album. Is that The Pick of Destiny?
Yeah, good knowledge. Good remembering. Well done.
That first album was just like just such a massive part of my childhood. Genuinely, I think probably one of the biggest reasons why I'm a comedian.
Mm.
It was the first thing I think that I genuinely found hilarious.
You don't always have to fuck her hard. And what a song.
What an amazing song. But then it was taken by the bullies in school and made their song.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
True.
Where it was like the cool kid, like basically all the nerds loved Tenacious D, and we were all like, oh my God, this is such an amazing band. So funny and like so stupid. And then suddenly people like dickheads on Stag Do was singing that song. You were like, this was our fucking song. We've known this fucking song for like 2 years.
That is so true.
And suddenly now you're singing it with the lads at like on a rugby tour.
Yeah. So is that why you bought the Snow Patrol album, to try and get back some of the music that the lads like?
Yes.
Because they do like the Snow Patrol stuff, don't they? They're all a bit Coldplay and Snow Patrol,
the lads. Yeah. I suppose that is, isn't it? Snow Patrol was sort of a the right-hand man of Coldplay.
Yeah, but it's interesting, isn't it, how those people who are a bit stag do and sporty and who, i.e. who are not nerds, they do like quite heartfelt music, weirdly.
Yeah, I know what you
there's a vibe
actually.
There, and you're like, you guys pretend to be all repressed and cool.
And none of them, I love like metal music, like Bullet for My Valentine and Billy Talent and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, like proper lads like that music. You would have thought like they would listen to that music whilst like sculling a beer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they don't. They all listen to like Snow Patrol.
It's weird, isn't it? It's really odd.
It's
Marvin, it's such a great time on your stag do, mate. It's really good. Amsterdam's amazing. We do it all. It just doesn't work. It's weird. They should be into much harder stuff. All right, let's move on now. 2007. There only three orders placed in 2007.
Oh, that's when I probably started comedy. So that's probably the time when I was my most poor.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
All right. You bought Dane Cook. A lot of Dane Cook, actually.
A lot of Dane Cook. See, that's basically when I started comedy, was when... Dane Cook was a huge inspiration to me.
Tell us about Dane Cook.
Comedy. So Dane Cook. He's an odd one because, like, it's kind of the stand-up that stand-ups like to forget now. It's an odd...
Why is that?
Well, basically, so Dane Cook was, like, the hugest comedian in America in 2007, 2005, 2000, to probably 2009, something like that.
Mm.
A huge, like, college comic was toured. He did, like, Madison Square Garden, like, sold out Madison Square Garden, sold out, like, did, like, did some HBO specials, like, three HBO specials, and did one in the round to 18,000 people. Like, wow. It's an insane, huge comic. He didn't really come over here. I don't think he ever did gigs here, but he, because he didn't need to, but
yeah.
He was so big and. He just and I loved him. Like, I found him on LimeWire. That's how I found him. That's genuinely how I started comedy.
Oh my god!
Was I used to go on LimeWire and just type stuff in and be like, oh, I'm going to download that.
Yeah.
And so I typed in comedy and all this Dane Cook stuff came up and I was like, well, what is this? Downloaded it and I just was like, this is so funny.
So it's what is it? Pretty basic observational.
It's
kind of
very
stuff?
Sort of bro-y comedy. And
okay.
It's kind of quite. It's great. It's like long stories. I think it's really filtered into what I do now. But now you would kind of look at it and be like, oh, I hope I'm like. There's some stuff is his early stuff is so good. It's really energetic.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Like, And I genuinely wouldn't be doing comedy without him.
And you so keep buying him as well. You get him again 2009, May 2009, Isolated Incident.
Yeah. That was
£10 you spend on that.
Oh, my God.
£10.
That was when he went back to a smaller venue to do record that.
Oh, I see.
And so genuinely, I wouldn't be doing comedy without if it wasn't for him. And I probably would say that's quite a lot of the same for quite a lot of American stand-ups. He was kind of the first stand-up in a while that made stand-up mainstream. And so... everyone loved him. And then he kind of did some bad movies and then he kind of dropped off, really.
Where is he now then? What's going on with Dane Cook now? Does he still gig?
He still gigs and stuff, still loves comedy. I think it was like he became that person who it was really cool to not like him.
Okay.
Because he was
the
biggest...
We're all thinking the same thing here, aren't we, with McIntyre? A lot of comics
exactly.
Went, even though McIntyre's a complete fucking genius. What he does is incredible.
Exactly.
But loads of comics are like, ugh.
He
McIntyre.
Was so huge. Like the economy in 2007.
Oh, beautiful! Yes,
he was so big that
yeah.
It was just like everyone was like, he's so big he can't fail, and then sort of toppled off the top. And I listened to a podcast a couple of days ago that had him on, and it was basically he was talking about like he was like I became a bit of a dick because like I lost both my parents within like months of each other. I was like this huge superstar and I didn't know how to talk to people and I was very alone and very depressed. And
oh God. Yeah.
And so it's interesting.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He was basically the Kevin Hart of his day, really.
Right. Okay.
But Kevin Hart seems to sort of follow up with movies and things like that.
And you're from the West Country, aren't you?
Yes, Bristol.
So you're a Bristol boy, but you're into your Americana, aren't you? Because there's a lot of American music, there's a lot of American comedy. And then 2010, you buy what I would suggest is the greatest TV show of all time. Certainly if you like Americana, Friday Night Lights.
Oh, baby.
Clear Eyes, Full Heart.
Clear Eyes, Full Heart.
Can't lose.
What
a wonderful TV show that
is. It's absolutely so America. I have always been obsessed with America.
Right.
And
why, please? Just generally?
I just thought it was so cool. Yeah. So cool. And then you get older and then you realize, oh, it's the least cool place of all time. But it's like, it's so, I used to just go on trips there by myself. Like, I used to just go buy a plane ticket, go to and just stay in a hotel in New York.
What?
And just walk around and then just come home.
Hang on, when were you doing this?
So I think the first time I did that was like, well, I had some cousins that lived in America, in Carolina or somewhere like that. And when I finished my GCSEs when I was 16, I went there and just walked around Carolina. And then that was really boring and then came home.
But how then, long did you do that for?
I did it for 2 weeks.
Like a sort of Bristol Forest Gump.
Yes. Very nomadic child. And
it takes tremendous courage to do that. Because
really?
I would love to have done that myself. Would have gone off and done a gap year and been by myself. And that's the way everyone says you should travel, by yourself. I can't do it. I can't bear to be by myself.
Really?
Way too nervous and anxious to do that.
I love it. I just love it. And it's just like, if you make a mistake, that it's on you.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody else going like, oh, Joel, I can't believe you made us go to this restaurant. It's rubbish.
Yeah.
And so I just would wonder, I didn't have enough money to do any experiences.
Right.
So I would just go to New York. I did the same to LA. And LA, you definitely can't walk around.
No, I got on a bus in LA and my mates who lived there were like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
What the hell are you doing?
Yeah. Like, I would just walk in LA for hours trying to get places.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what are you doing? Like, it's just you and homeless people walking. That's it.
What's the equivalent in London, do you think? I suppose it's sort of walking around the North Circular or something, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's literally, yeah. Like, imagine just wandering around the M25.
Yeah.
People be like, what the hell are you doing, Joel? You're like, I'm just on my way to get a sandwich.
It's fine. I've got this.
Because I started comedy in America. And it keeps coming back to my early... So I went to America for 3 months. And because I was like, oh, I'm just going to go to L.A., see, I had a friend who lived there and he was away. So I was like, I'll just live in your house. And because I didn't have money to hire a car, there was a comedy club, the Laugh Factory, was just down the road. And because I'd heard Dane Cook goes there a lot. So I was like, this is perfect. So I used to go there every single night.
Oh, wow.
And I just used to go there and then just, and then there was an open mic night and I didn't do it, but it was the first time where I saw people that were really shit. And I was like, oh, you can be shit and do this.
It's a massive revelation to
it's
see.
It's mad.
Me going to Edinburgh in 99, watching a lot of stand-up that was shit, made me go, oh, I can have a go at this.
There is a learning process to this. Yeah. There is a ladder and everyone's not great. I just really love it. I'm writing a new tour at the moment, which is I'm going out on tour in March. And so I'm writing the new tour at the moment. And I'm like really loving it. It's like now starting to feel like me, which is good because before it kind of felt like lots of weird little observations strung together, like where's your bathroom light?
Listen, if you want to use that, the thing I said about the cord and laying a cable, that was pretty good.
I think that's absolutely great. Absolutely, I think that's the topper.
Consider that for your fee for doing this podcast. So the other thing about stand-up, it should be said, is that you certainly, for a lot of the time doing stand-up, you earn no money at all. 2011 proves that's the case because there are zero orders placed in
nothing.
2011. Domic goes quiet. 2012, only two orders placed. Beautiful. So October, you buy a memory card, 16 gigs for the PlayStation. Hey, you got to put those memories somewhere, right?
For the PlayStation as well.
PlayStation Vita, your little handheld.
Oh, the little handheld. But yeah. I can safely say I don't think I ever used that.
Okay, good. Well, it's waiting for you.
I'm not a gamer.
But I want to be. That's the problem. I want to because I like the idea of switching my brain off and falling into a game, but I can never do it. I just can't do it.
I have a very addictive personality.
Yeah.
And this goes for stand-up. This goes for fitness. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if I'm in it, I'm in it. I'm doing it to the best of my ability. And I know that if I get into gaming, I'm in deep.
Yeah.
And I'm like there 4 o'clock in the morning, like talking to a Chinese kid. Just go like, fuck you, man. I'm going to fucking get you with my Gatling gun.
Talking to a Chinese kid, getting thrashed by
getting
a Chinese
thrashed by a Chinese child.
March 2012.
Yes.
The Estonia flag, 7.5 by 5 centimeters key ring. Any ideas why you bought an
Estonia flag?
Yeah. It's currently unavailable. I don't know why. Some sort of political upheaval.
Maybe that country's gone.
Just Google it. No, it's still there. No reviews of this product as yet, which feels like a...
Interesting. I did a gig in Estonia once, so maybe it was that.
Oh, that's lovely. So you wore a flag, what, because you wanted to be the president? You thought you'd stick it on your lapel?
Yeah, I thought maybe I'd put it on my luggage to seem like that's the only way you can get in the country. It's like, you know, you have to be a national. And I thought I was... I genuinely can't remember getting that, but what a country.
What a country.
Tallinn.
Yeah, absolutely. Tallinn, and that's it. I'm out then.
I'm in. It was snowy, beautiful, back out. Very interesting thing about Estonia. Apparently because there's no religion there. There's no sort of founding religion of that country.
Yeah.
And so they're just kind of, there's less morals there, moral code. And so it was really interesting. So I was there, they had a really fun gig.
Yeah. And then I remember you killed a man.
And I killed a man.
Fine.
And then I left.
Yeah.
And I wrapped him in an Estonian flag.
You stabbed him to death with the lapel badge.
And I remember this girl just kept on looking at me, and I was single. So I was like, wow, she's really beautiful. Kept on looking at me, and we had this meal, and she was kind of sat across from me, kept on looking at me. And then we went to this nightclub afterwards with loads of these people, one of those gigs where you go to the nightclub with all of the audience, you know, because it's all in this tiny little town.
Yes.
And then she kept on looking at me, and then she sort of came up to me, and she was like, oh, hey. And I was like, oh, hello. By this point, we've been staring at each other for about 3 hours.
Yeah.
And she was like, this is my husband. And I was like, what? And she's like, this is my husband. And I was like, oh, and I was like, oh, okay. And I was obviously like visually freaked out by it. And then I went over to my other friend who was sort of hosting the gig. And I was like, oh, what, this lady just came up to me and she said, we've been flirting with each other with our eyes the entire night. And then she just said that she's got a husband. And he goes, oh, this is Estonia. They have no religion here. So they are like godless people.
Wow, I love Estonia. And to show respect, here is the Estonian national anthem. It feels right. So what happens next?
And then I freaked out and went home.
But do you think she was saying, I think so, yeah. I'm going to pop him on the reserves bench.
I'm probably going to have all of the Estonians in the world getting in touch and saying that's completely not true. Maybe I was in a very incestuous town.
Dear Mr. Domet, as the Estonian ambassador... We invite you for dinner. Please bring your keys. So to be clear, all Estonians are swingers. That's what you're saying.
That is essentially what I'm saying.
That's why you bought the badge, because that's like a code.
Yeah.
If you are going to see Joel live,
yes,
wear an Estonian badge.
Yes.
That's as good as keys in a bowl.
That is it.
We are going to take a little break right now from the lovely Joel Domet. We'll be back in about 2 minutes' time. Hope you're enjoying the Estonian national anthem. It's lovely, isn't it? I just wanted to say, I'm doing this podcast, My Mate Bought a Toaster, live in York on Friday, October the 11th. So if you fancy coming along, all you've got to do is go to yorktheatreroyal.co.uk, have a search on there. It's going to be awesome. Right, back in a sec with more Joel Domet. Enjoy the ads, won't be long.
Some of your favourite Great Big Owl podcasts are coming to the London Podcast Festival, including
The A Musical Podcast,
Rule of Three,
John Holmes's The One Show Show,
Friends with Friends,
The Fear,
Trolled with Tracy Ann Oberman,
and Brian and Roger. More info and tickets are available at kingsplace.co.uk.
Get your tickets right now, or I don't know what I'll do.
Kill you.
Tilly's done a bullet
mice advert. No, I haven't.
Great Big Owl.
Jalan. 2014, 5 orders placed. 2015, 3 orders placed. We're looking at things like mains chargers, a deluxe external battery pack for $22.99.
Sexy stuff.
Absolutely gorgeous. Fight Club. That's all of 2015 for you there.
I've got a wires box and I love it. And I keep those wires. Yeah. This is the problem with Amazon, is that I mean, there's obviously lots of them, mm-hmm. but like that I have a box of wires and I keep the wires, and then I end up just going like, oh, I need that wire, and I buy it on Amazon before I look in the box, because it's like £2 for a new wire.
Yeah, but I you can, a man or indeed a woman, can never have too many wires.
Yes.
I've got an old wooden chest that belonged to my grandmother that is like a family heirloom type thing.
Full of wires. Well, I think that's what happens as a human being. As a man, you play with your penis, mm-hmm. and then you start to get to the age where you stop playing with your penis and you start playing with wires.
Yeah. Yeah, it's completely reasonable.
You put
your penis in the box as well with the wires.
with the wires.
Get stored in there.
Yeah.
There's no doubt wires are a penis replacement. Although, what that says about...
Put it into a female connector.
That's true, isn't it? The male and female thing.
Female thing.
I've always found that incredibly unpleasant when people say that. I've got a female for a USB, but I need a male. You know when people...
And you're like... Mm, oh, yeah. But it is very literal. It's literally like, I'm putting a long thing in a hole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, still, you know, just like sex, the USB you always put in the wrong way around the first time.
Always. Every time.
Just put, like, make them colourful. Put an arrow on it.
It's
put
an arrow
a dot
system.
On it.
It's what arrows
put
are for.
Put a dot on it.
So 2016, you really start to buy a lot of stuff. 40 orders placed. And I've got to say, on the 21st of December, maybe this is a Christmas present, you buy the Clark ES SS2 electric chainsaw sharpener.
Well, I'm clearly about to kill someone.
Okay, well, that's what is happening here.
I'm clearly about to kill someone.
Clearly.
That was a present for Christmas for my stepdad.
Okay.
I bought that for him because my mum said that he wanted it. Fortunately, my mum told everybody that he wanted that, and so he got three of them. Terrible.
Did he think at Christmas... Everyone thinks I'm a psychopath.
Everyone's buying me chainsaw sharpeners. And it's weird. Also like returning stuff on Amazon is so long. You're like, I can't be bothered.
Just keep it.
So he's just got lots of chainsaws. He's got a real sharp chainsaw.
Let's go back to the beginning of 2016 before we get to the sharp chainsaw climax of that year.
Yes.
February 2016, you bought the wooden tobacco smoking pipe. May grey black.
Yes. So that is, I still have that.
Oh, good.
I still have that. And that is for a photo shoot for Edinburgh Festival.
Okay. Fine.
It was for...
Just for photographs, not for real use.
Not for real use.
Sherlock Holmesian, by any chance?
Very Sherlock Holmesian. And I had a big beard at the time. And it was very sort of like sailor vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And I still use that photo for... my Soho House membership.
Oh, really?
So every time I go into Soho House, they look at me and they look down at the photo and laugh and let me in.
So you're not actually a member anymore. They just enjoy the picture
just
on the card.
The photo,
just for lols, let him in. All sorts of stuff going on here. This is interesting. On the 29th of July, 2016, you bought the Vokula Shockproof 532NM Tactical Green Dot Laser Sight Rifle Gun Scope.
Yes.
Joel...
I've bought that quite a lot of times, I think.
Right, okay.
So that is, again, shout serial killer.
It's really screaming it.
It's really screaming serial killer. Yeah. I think you're about to find out that I killed a man. Then it's going
to
be like...
to Estonia to kill people with chainsaws, but you scope them out, first of all, with the green dot laser sight rifle. And to anyone listening who thinks this might be like a little tiny device that you use to, you know,
it's a big one.
Infuriate a cat. This is not that. This is a big one. This is like...
So basically, I was in a nightclub. I'll tell you the full story. I was in a nightclub in Japan.
And, that's not how I expected this story to start.
Right. I was in a nightclub in Japan. Again, it was a weird thing. I was there doing a television show, but I was like, I'm going to stay here an extra couple of days by myself and just like what I just walked around Tokyo. And very fun. Genuinely tried to find some sex clubs, but then I was too scared to go in them. Okay. And
standard.
Because I was like, I've never been to a sex club. I feel like I should go to a sex club, and I just got really scared.
So a sex club is different to a strip bar, right? Because a sex club, people go in to do actual sex.
Yeah. And I think, if you've never been somewhere, don't go to one where language is also a barrier.
Mm.
You know? Mm. I don't know. Maybe they've got rules and regulations.
Yeah.
And so I ended up just going to a nightclub instead, which is even worse because you just walk around.
Why have you got a green dot laser sight gun scope?
Long story. So I went to this nightclub, wandered around, and what they did have in that nightclub was an incredible laser light show. Going through all the smoke, it was just like, like going to the music. I was like, this is incredible. And I looked at it and I was like, how can I get this into my stand-up?
Okay.
And so, obviously, immediately I thought, I'm going to have a laser coming out my dick.
Yes!
I'm going to have a laser coming out my dick.
Since the dawn of time, man has wanted a laser to come out of his dick.
So I went home, I bought that, and I genuinely, this is fully true, so I got some jeans and I cut a hole in the jeans. I put the laser sight in the jeans and sewed them in. I sewed in the laser sight, yeah. And it had like, and I put like through to the pocket the little button, which it was genuinely brilliant.
So you could say to people, put your hand in my pocket and my dick will light up.
My dick will light up. And I, so I could press it and it could come on, right? And I wasn't sure whether it was going to work or not, but I basically had like a smoke machine. I bought a smoke machine as well. Mm. And I tested it out and it really worked. And then I wrote a song called Laser Dick.
Yeah.
And
can you tell us how the song Laser Dick
goes? Basically, I can't remember the lyrics of it, but it's basically about me, my dick being a laser and accidentally killing all of my girlfriends.
Lovely.
Because my laser cuts them in half.
Are you going to have that played at your funeral?
I think it will be played almost certainly at my funeral, if not my wedding.
Okay.
So that then became the start of the second half of my tour show.
Right.
Was me coming out and it was all like dark. And it starts with the, I'll see if I can remember the lyrics. I was like, I never meant to hurt you, but I did and it's too late. You got too close and you got burned. I miss you so much, Kate. Trusting me with everything. And then what did I do? I abused that trust and I took your heart, sliced it right in two. With my laser dick. Then the laser would come on. My laser dick. I killed you with my laser dick. And now you're dead and I feel sick. My laser dick. And then I'd do that and I'd like point it into like a disco ball and it goes fucking insane all over the place. And then I would like, yeah, that's a long story.
You're listening to My Mate Bought a Toaster. It's the noise of Joel Dommett singing about his laser dick. But this is what happens, I suppose, when you go to a nightclub and you've sort of sexually, you wanted to go to a sex party, whatever they're called, a sex club. Hey. And you were like, that didn't happen. So you still had sex on the brain.
Yeah. That's what happened.
I'm just trying to make excuses as to why you managed to connect those dots, but I can't. Yeah. I'm struggling. So we should also say, just to give a bit of Joel Dommett life context at this time, we're in 2016. We're about to leap into 2017. Things really kicked off for you. Have you done The Jungle at this stage or not?
That's 2016. I did The Jungle. So that would have been the end of that year. So, right. And it was a big year for me because I did that, which obviously changed my life forever. Mm. But also I met Hannah, my soon-to-be wife.
Yes.
Probably, as this comes out, wife.
Yes, this will be out in about September time, which is when you're getting married.
I will be fully married. Yeah. And
Mrs. Laserdick, as she's now going to be known.
Mrs. LD. And I met her in December, basically as soon as I came back from the jungle. So it was a big old year for Dommett.
Really was. Really was. Did you meet her through jungle-related stuff, like pressy things?
No, I met her on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was just before Christmas, like 2 days before Christmas. I'd been back from the jungle probably like 2 weeks or something, and I was just really like freaked out by the fact that everyone was recognizing me, and I was a bit like, ugh.
Yeah.
So it was really nice. I'm sure
there's something in the fact that you just arrived back from a jungle and you just bought chainsaw sharpening devices.
Yes.
There's some connection there. If I was clever, I'd...
Yeah.
But I can't make it work. And then you met your future wife. Wow.
Then I met my future wife.
Laserdick Dommett. We're heading into 2017 now. A good year, 2017, because 2016 was exciting and things really started to happen for you career-wise and in your personal life as well. So let's see what you're doing in January, shall we? Just after, sort of in the weeks after this has happened, yeah?
Yeah.
This earthquake has happened.
I met the lady of my dreams. Mm-hmm. My career is really shaping up. It's just like insane.
So you have bought a gift on the 19th of January for Hannah. I assume
really?
Hannah is your Hannah. And this is when you've only just started.
This is exciting. What is it?
What do you think you bought her? 19th of January.
19th of January. So that, well, 19th of January is her birthday.
So this is the first birthday that you were together.
I assume so. But then if I was buying it on the 19th, then I assume maybe it would be late.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you found out on the day and you were like, panic.
Oh.
I don't know if this product is available on Prime now. I don't know if it is delivered on the day. Any ideas what it is? The first gift you bought for Hannah?
I can't think what it would be.
It was a marzipan, classic marzipan tort.
Yes!
You bought her a tort?
Yes. She said that she liked marzipan. She was in Manchester working.
Right.
I think it was Manchester. And Liverpool. She was in Liverpool working. Doesn't matter. But she... And I was like, I'm going to send her a marzipan. Because she said that she liked marzipan.
Yeah.
And then I almost sent it to the wrong hotel, and it all became like way more hassle than it was worth.
Right, okay. But the point is, it was a nice thing to do. She said she liked marzipan, and...
I listened.
That's exactly right. That's what we've learned here.
What you need to do. It's all about listening. But that is the mad thing, isn't it, about relationships, that you realise as you get older. It's almost 80% about listening.
What's weird is the next thing you buy for Hannah in March, having just bought her a marzipan cake, tort.
Yeah.
You bought her some Play-Doh mini 10-pack set. Why did you go from buying marzipan to the non-edible version of marzipan, Play-Doh? She's obviously got a thing for almonds, this girl.
I feel like, again, it would have been a conversation that we were having where we would have been like, you know when you're in a young relationship, you know, and you're just like feeding off each other.
Oh, I love it.
And she's just like, remember Play-Doh? And we would have both been like, fucking, I love Play-Doh. That's what the conversation would have, that's all it would have been is... A 3-second mention of Play-Doh, and in my head I'm like, I'm fucking buying that for her. I'm buying that for her. She's gonna love it.
I love the knee-jerk response with Amazon.
Getting them right. That's what I love about Amazon. It's like you can immediately get it.
Yeah. It's brilliant. So Hannah's a lucky lady getting.
She gets marzipan, Play-Doh.
Again in February, you bought another green laser sight, tactical green laser scope.
The first one broke.
This one was £42. You're learning you've got to invest.
Is that £42?
£42.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to check how much this year is.
You spent £180 on shot confetti cannons as well in February.
Yeah. So I used to spend a lot of money on confetti cannons. Mm-hmm.
For the show or just for your life?
For the show.
Okay.
I did this joke. I genuinely don't feel like I'm ever going to write anything better than this. Just letting you know that.
So this is your I'm going to retire joke.
This is my pièce de résistance. I basically had a confetti cannon. And I had a button, and I said to an audience member, I was like, this is the button that sets off the confetti cannon. Give the button to the audience member, and I say, set it off, sir, when you think it's the right time in the show. And then everyone obviously laughs, and we talk about it. I'm like, don't worry, you'll know, sir. You will absolutely know. You can't get it wrong. You'll know. Give him the button. Obviously, that button doesn't do anything. And then I do this bit towards the end of the show where I go, and then my friend Steve, he told me, he said, Joel, I've got prostate cancer. The confetti cannon goes off. Everyone looks at that guy like, what the fuck are you doing? That is the worst thing you could ever do. And people, because it's so funny, because the pop goes off, and everyone goes, oh. And then they realize in the shock, and then they go, and the shock makes them laugh more. And then they sort of laugh, and because the confetti's falling, it's just funny until all of the confetti stop falling.
It's a long lasting joke, isn't it? That because you don't just say anything.
I don't say anything, and I honestly wait until the last bit of confetti falls.
Yeah,
and then I look at the guy, and then another laugh happens. It's honestly insane. Oh. I genuinely love it, and I'm so fond of it as a joke. But what's interesting is that when I would do it. 50% of the people would be like, I came on that night where he set off the confetti cannon at the worst moment.
Yeah.
And you're like, I set off that time every night. And it's like, you don't want to be like, I actually wrote that.
There's always that moment with comedy, with stand-up shows where you're like, no, that happened every time.
That happened every time. And that was really an interesting insight. When I did it in Edinburgh Festival, it was an interesting insight into the intelligent reviewers and the non-intelligent reviewers.
Yes.
Because like... Honestly, reviews going like, oh my God, they set it off on this time. You know,
the funniest bit he didn't even do.
Yeah, exactly. And like, they're idiots.
That's so annoying. Just,
they're absolute idiots. They're all like students. You
could
tell.
Did people say that? They
are, honestly. Oh. And it's infuriating. And then it became an interesting insight into stand-up. It's the reasons why you're doing it. Because you go like, oh, am I doing this because I want people to find me funny? Mm. Or am I doing this because I want people to know that am I doing this because I want people to laugh, or am I doing it because I want people to find me funny?
Yeah.
That's because either way, they're laughing.
Yeah.
But is
but
it
the
an ego
joy
thing?
Of all of them laughing in that room at that moment, knowing that most of them aren't laughing at you per yeah. se, you still feel the joy. It's a bit like doing warm-up. I did warm-up for years. That moment when you bring on the person they love and they yeah. all go mad, you still go, love that sound. Even love though it's absolutely not for me.
Totally.
It's so interesting. All right, we're going to have to move on because we are running out of time.
Sorry, I always talk loads.
No. It's fucking brilliant. I love it. Loads of nutritional stuff as well. Did that sort of begin in your life at this stage?
Yes.
Now you're a celeb? What happens? Is it you have to get your organic turmeric?
Oh, I loved all that stuff. I love all that stuff. I love nutrition and I love like fitness and things. So I very much, it was probably before that I got into fitness because I was into it by the time I was in the jungle in 2016. So I'd spend a lot of money on you know, supplements.
Yeah, a lot of supplements. All American, EFX, Cree, I've probably said that wrong, alkaline EFX capsules.
Al-Qaeda, yeah, that was an Al-Qaeda flag. Yeah, it was an Al-Qaeda keychain, actually. They don't let you in without a keychain.
BCAA powder, raspberry and pomegranate. This is all protein stuff,
isn't
it?
That stuff is delicious, yes.
Hitting the protein hard, mate. Oh, Durex Plain Lubricant feels? A lot of protein in that.
Yeah.
A lot of protein in that.
I put it on all my muscles so they look bigger. It makes them all tingly. When I say muscle, I mean muscle. My one muscle.
The main muscle, which has been built up because of holding a laser weight on it.
I think I got that because I remember I had a bottle of it.
Right.
And I couldn't tell whether someone would be disgusted. Can you use... This is an interesting question for the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Can you use the same lubricant between different relationships?
Ooh.
Should you buy a fresh bottle?
Oh, that's
And so I think I thought I'm going to buy a fresh bottle. It's not something I use a lot.
No, obviously, I mean, I don't want to... Who knows how often it's...
You want it both, there in case.
You just need it just in case of an emergency.
You want it there in case. And so, like... And it's also... You can use it as a massage thing. So you can kind of play it off like that. Oh, it's for massage.
Mm-hmm. But you're right. Dude. When you go over to it and they're like... It's their first night with you.
And it's like it's half third, used.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, it's different for like American people because American people don't have foreskins as much.
Oh, my God.
So they have to use lubricant more.
Oh,
we don't need it as much because we've got the flappy bit on the top.
I'm so shocked by that.
Did you never think about it?
No, I'd never had that thought, Joel.
Have you never had that thought?
No, I've never had that thought, but it's...
Honestly,
God,
I love new thoughts.
I love new thoughts like that. Oh, I am taking that with me on my journey through life.
So basically, a lot of American men have like a tub of moisturizer on their bedside table. Hannah was telling me this, right? She was like, one of the most disgusting things I've ever experienced was like sort of going to have sex with this man in America. She was in Miami for a bit. And then like he just puts his hand in this like Nivea side of his thing. And the thing is that you know he's been touching other women and then putting his fingers in that fucking pot.
Yeah, that's gross. That
is fucking disgusting. Yeah. And they think it's disgusting having a foreskin.
Yeah.
Mate, it's disgusting to have a fucking wank pot on the side of your bed.
Wow. That is fascinating. So I'm just more interested in the industry that's been built out of lack of foreskins.
A huge industry.
It's worth billions.
I had a really tight foreskin when I was younger.
Yeah.
Real tight. Mm-hmm. And then I never knew it was supposed to come back.
Mm.
And
yeah, it is, yeah. Listeners, it is.
It's supposed to go back.
Mm.
And then one of my first girlfriends, when I started to have sex, it was all fine. And then one day, the foreskin came back for the first time in my life.
And you're like, whoa!
And it was like strangling the end of my penis. Yeah. And I was just like, this is the most pain I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, hopefully it won't happen again. It happened again probably a month later. I was like, okay, I need to start. So I looked online and it said, basically, you need to get circumcised. And I was like, I'm not doing that.
No.
I'm absolutely not doing that. So I just, every day for about 6 months, stretched it in the bath. And now it is very, very loose.
Absolute windsock now, isn't it?
It's very loose. Just
fine.
Every day, just trying to fit more fingers in.
Wow, that's great. I never thought we'd get onto the topic of foreskin physio.
Again, it's that thing.
Foreskin physio. So glad we have.
It's that thing of like, when I get something in my mind, I'm doing it.
I'm doing it. Can I just say, very similar story from this guy over here as well. Very similar story indeed.
Did you really?
Very, very tight foreskin. And I was always like, oh God, this is... And then when sex started, I was like, no, this hurts like hell, but I don't want to get circumcised, which my brother had to get done.
Really?
Sauce for sharing that. And it just slowly over time, through doing various bits of physio on it, problem solved.
You just gotta do it. And there's no website that says stretch it in the bath, mate.
I cannot believe that. Should we buy the website stretchitinthebathmate.com?
Absolutely. Give them various crowbars.
If you could, if anyone's tweeting about this show, put a hashtag stretch it in the bath. That would be ideal.
Hashtag stretch in the bath.
So along comes 2019, and we are getting towards the end of this podcast, sadly. Joel, it's been so nice catching up with you again. I love this. I absolutely love this. 2019, good year so far? Yeah, everything going all right?
Absolutely great. So I moved house in 2019, and I'm getting married. So my Amazon orders have been very erratic of late. Well, I mean, it's like genuinely every day.
Yes. This is what happens. Amazon loves someone going through domestic change.
Yes.
That's what it is born to do at the moment.
I tried to think what it's like when you have a baby. It must be like day, just constant like nappies.
To give you some context, you've bought 71 items so far this year.
Ah.
And most people who've had kids get into the 160, 170
wow.
a year, which is nearly every other day you're buying something from Amazon, or less.
And also I've moved to the countryside. And so I used to live in Peckham. And then I had to be like, oh, is my neighbor going to be in? I can't, how am I going to get it? And now I'm in the countryside. I'm like, leave it behind the wheelie bin.
Yes.
You know, it's like amazing.
Whatever. Yeah.
Anytime.
Just shout the name Steve. Yep. He'll come out of his house.
He'll get it. Yeah. I'm in bed ordering Amazon every night, and it makes me so happy.
So delicious. 2019, lots of random stuff being bought here. Some lovely kitchen plinths there, leg clips. We love a kitchen plinth. We've got some cute baby boy's birthday hat, headband, glitter headwear with the number one on. That's adorable.
My nephew has been born, and that's the reason that I don't want kids anymore.
Fantastic.
My brother had a baby, so... No more.
How is your brother older than you or younger?
My brother's older than me. Okay, yeah, yeah. So... And me and Hannah were all over that shit. We were just like, let's have kids, can't wait.
Yeah.
And then my brother had a baby and we were like, yeah, okay, let's wait.
And is it a difficult baby? Is it a colicky
one? No, lovely. Okay. Lovely baby. It was premature.
Yeah.
But lovely, like a really lovely, lovely kid, like really cool. Mm-hmm. And like really lovely to hang out with, but also just so lovely to hand back.
I mean, this is the thing. Oh, you've done it, Joel. Sorry, I'm just scanning. You are the second person to do it on My Mate Bought a Toaster. You have bought a toaster! Congratulations, Joel. Oh, yes, I love it when this happens.
Yes, dual it.
Wonderful. Yes, mate, four slot.
Oh, yeah.
Take us through it.
Oh, yeah. Moved into a new house. I thought it was time to buy a toaster and a proper adult one, you know? Mm-hmm. I've had like a bad Argus toaster for all of my adult life.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And now I'm like, now it's like, I'm in the forever house now.
Yeah.
This is the forever house. Mm-hmm. It's just like, we've gone for it. And it's...
gone from a two slot to a four slot? Upgraded your slots?
Upgraded. I mean, the four slot toaster is very much a good sort of metaphor for my house. It's like, I've gone for it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah. We've gone with a Q cooker tap. Oh. The tap that's next to your tap that... boiling water comes out.
You've got a boiling water tap.
Are you kidding me?
Do you know what the best thing that ever happened to me in my life is?
What?
2 years ago, we got a boiling water tap.
Oh my God, it's the best.
I am so happy.
The time that you're saving with the kettle.
The kettle's already boiled, but also ecologically, I think it's a little bit more efficient than a kettle because it doesn't have to take the water from cold to hot. It sort of keeps it so well insulated.
Yeah.
I absolutely love a boiling tap.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Joel, I love that when we were gigging before, you were young and cool, and I was the sort of guy who was married and kids, and now we're sort of meeting again.
In the middle.
You are morphing back into our sad middle-of-the-road lives, and I love it.
And now we have... there's also... I was looking at the very recent ones, because we're doing like a goodie bag for the people who are coming for our wedding. There's only 28 people.
Oh, that's nice. That's so very niche.
Very sort
niche isn't the right word there, is it? Elite. No, that's not the right word either. It's a very negative word.
It is very niche and elite.
I don't like to use those negative words there. but yes, nice, nice.
So I'm really looking forward to my niche and elite wedding.
Sorry,
Niche and elite, I would say, is describes the Nazis.
I've just gone a bit Nigel Farage on you. You metropolitan elite. That is good though. That's
so yeah, it's more as we're having goodie bags. And so we're putting like lots of fun stuff in the goodie bag, in the tote bag. And so we bought condoms. I know I bought condoms very recently.
Oh, that's I'm going to find those, am I? Okay.
And I just wanted to warn you before you get to them.
Great. Okay, fine. Good. So that's not a reaction to your brother's child. That's just a lol. For the wedding. Can I also say, you've done something which I find absolutely adorable. You bought the Ring video doorbell.
Yes.
I've got one of those.
Oh, game changer.
Game changer. You're always in, Joel. Do you know where you are right now?
Oh, I'm in right now.
You're home.
I'm in. I can speak to people right now. And there's nothing more fascinating and satisfying when you're with someone who doesn't know what it is and you're speaking to a delivery driver. Just leave it behind the wheelie bin, mate. I'm not in the moment, but I'll leave it by the way. And seeing the look on their face, they're like, what the fuck is life? What is life? It's like someone's just seen Shazam for the first time.
It is exactly that. I love it so much. Oh. Like, interrupting a conversation in the flesh and go, 1 second, sorry. Hi, mate. Yeah, just put it on the bench. It's perfect. Thank you. Cheers. And then I kind of play it cool. I'm like, sorry, what were you saying? And they're like, no. You just tell me what you've just done.
Are we in 2025?
It is so good. Rings are amazing.
I've got two of them. I've got a doorbell for the front. I've also got a security camera for the back. So anyone think that they could break to my house? Go fuck yourself. I'm fully covered.
Can I also say what is absolutely delightful about the Ring video doorbell? Package was delivered to a neighbour.
It was delivered to a neighbour.
And you got it delivered?
Because it was before I had the Ring, you know, and there will be no deliveries to the neighbour after that. No, trust me.
You're never going to see that guy again.
Never.
So here's what we do, Joel. I have to find one item at the end, which best sums up where we've got to, where we've been on this journey. Right? As we've seen you start as a 16-year-old kid wandering around Carolina by himself, and here you are, really accomplished, successful stand-up comic. And actually, I'm not going to pick one item, I'm going to pick two. One thing you've had delivered by the wheelie bin is the Optimum Velocity baseball bat.
Oh, yes.
Why have you bought a 32-inch baseball bat, Joel? Is everything okay?
Because I want to let you know. If you break into my house, I will fucking break your legs.
Okay. All right. That's good to know.
I think that sums me up pretty well.
Exactly. There you go.
Well, no, Hannah was like, that was one of the first things when we moved in. We were like, should we get a baseball bat?
Are you joking? You've actually bought this for security?
I've genuinely bought this for security.
Joel, having spoken to you for the last hour, you'd be fucking hopeless. What on earth would you do?
Terrible at
you're
it.
You'd start talking to them.
Yeah.
Foreskin.
I probably would. It's, yeah, and also it comes in like a little bag, so when you pull back the bag, it does feel like you're pulling back your foreskin.
You just get a slop of cream to get it pulled back nicely.
But it's, I've got it for, because it's like I've never had a house before where I'm proud of it, and it's a scary thought, the idea of someone breaking into your house. But if you've got a baseball bat, then you just go like, I've got a baseball bat, and because you don't want to shoot them. No. You don't want a gun. I don't want to laser them in the eyes.
No.
So,
I tell you what, a confetti cannon. If you got a confetti cannon or a chainsaw.
That's a great shout.
There's been a dark undercurrent to many of the things you've bought, but nothing more so than
baseball bat.
Oh, no, Joel, it's the best thing. The 7th of June, 2019. Can I just say, because you're going to be embarrassed about this.
Okay.
Don't be, because most people we've had on have done this.
Okay.
You've bought four copies of your own book.
Oh, yes.
It's not me, it's them. Confessions of a Hopeless Modern Romantic. Well, this is lovely. This is a great plug for your brilliant book. It's a Sunday Times bestseller. Hello.
Yes.
Hi, guys.
It just gets to the point where the publishing company don't give you free ones anymore. So you just got to buy them. You just got to buy them because you buy them and you're like, okay, I'll buy them because I'm going to give them to people or whatever. But you're also like, well, if I buy him, I'm also like helping me out.
You spent 24 quid.
I spent 24 quid
so
on my own book.
So in royalties, you'll probably get back about 3 quid from that.
Yeah.
But there you are. That's the final thing that we've got. The most up-to-date thing is four copies of your own book. And a baseball bat.
And a baseball bat. That is, sums me up.
What's going on in your head where you're like, I'm trying to protect my new castle, but also...
I'm trying to protect my own castle built by the books that I sold.
Maybe I could give the burglar a free book when they break in.
Maybe that's the problem, is that I only had a book to throw at them.
Brilliant stuff. All right, listen, Joel Dommett, wonderful stand-up comic. And you're on tour again when? Next year, in March. March 2020.
Yeah.
This podcast will still exist then. So
I've got a new show out called Single Town. It's on ITV2. And basically, I'm on a lot of television until... the end of January, and just all I ask is I'm not trying to annoy you.
Mm-hmm.
Just I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not on too much.
Yeah.
And just if you don't like it, just turn over. Don't send me any horrible tweets.
People love watching you on TV, Joel. You've got the likable guy thing.
Hey.
Even more so after listening to this, although
I'm a likable guy with a baseball bat
and a very loose foreskin.
Yes, indeedy.
Thanks, Joel. That was absolutely lovely. The wonderful Joel Dommett. Thank you very much for listening. Give us a follow on Twitter at ToasterPod, and we'll see you soon for more of this nonsense. That was so nice. Thank you, mate. I love the good of baby, and I want you for the rest of my day. GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, it's Roger here. Brian is off somewhere else at the moment, so it's just me. We're going to be doing a live podcast at the King's Place in London. Tickets from kingsplace.co.uk, and that will be on September the 15th, approximately 9:30. Should be fun, I'd have thought. So, yes, come. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Great to be.